Hi, everybody. Listen to my friend Lee Williams, who always plays the best in country music.
The big bright moon is shining down on the desert sand. I reached down, touched the earth, and held it in my hand. As the dirt fell through my fingers, the wind did seem to say, don't put off until tomorrow what you can't do today. Cause time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. It just keeps moving on. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. It just keeps moving on. Drop matches that lit up the desert sky. A pillar of fire from east to west came slowly drifting by. A voice from the cloud like thunder says, start looking for a ride to where yesterday meets tomorrow. That'll get you to the other side. Where time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. It just keeps moving on. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. Time don't wait on nobody. It just keeps moving on. And on. And on.
Backstage at the Indigo in London at the O2, and Marty Stewart's with me.
Glad to see you again.
It's great.
In person.
Yes. Well, we did do it once, I think, when you came in and you did a talk about the Bristol sessions,
right?
When you did that documentary.
We were playing C2C, right?
That's correct.
And they were kicking off that film about, it was an anniversary of the Bristol sessions or something, I think.
That's right. It was a documentary they put out, and they showed it for the first time in a little cinema complex,
right,
at the O2, and it's great.
Well, Bristol is one of those touchstones that anybody that loves country music, the authentic thing, you should make your way to Bristol, Tennessee, because they have a nice little museum there. And the city was on the verge of just kind of passing away a decade ago, and then they had this festival in the fall called Rhythm and Roots that energized the town and gave them a centerpiece to build around. And the Birthplace of Country Music Museum is there, and it's well run, well done, and it's growing. So if you're a true fan of country music, it's a good place to just kind of go by and tip your hat to.
Yeah, they've invited me. I just just never got there.
But you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I certainly will. And I still play music from the, because you brought out the music from that time, that you brought together musicians and redid it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my buddy Carl Jackson was the producer of that project, and he's the best at pulling those different styles together. But what's interesting about it is, you get asked, I know, and I get asked, like, what do you think of country music today? It's a question that's been asked since the Bristol Sessions, which is almost 100 years now. I found a Billboard review of Bill Monroe in 1939, and the review said, what is it coming to? This man is taking Jimmy Rogers' songs, playing them at racehorse speed, and singing in the voice of a woman. Country music is falling apart. This is 1939, and the same conversations are being held today about, well, what's happening to country music. Well, probably the same thing that was happening in 1939. But I think country music is at its best when it's true to itself. We're not trying to be pop stars. We're not trying to be what we're not, just to get bigger audiences or numbers. I love it when country music is just simply country music. It makes for good, it's good for the heart.
Definitely, definitely. Now, you run a country music jam every CMA Fest. You had, obviously, for a couple of years it didn't happen. But tell me about that and how that got together.
Well, it's called the Late Night Jam, and it's held at the Ryman Auditorium, the Mother Church. And the way it really started, if you want to know the truth, is when I put the Superlatives together in the year 2001, I had been playing, you remember when it was called Fanfare, right?
Oh, yeah, good days.
Okay. They were a good day. That's before country music, the industry, went so completely blue chip. And in the days it was called Fanfare, it still had a bit of a mom-and-pop feel, right?
Yeah, and it was over at the fairgrounds. I remember sweating
buckets. Hot and sweaty. But yeah. That's, you know, it was, and that's the, you know, legacy of country. It's kind of built one handshake at a time. So I go back to 1973 with Fanfare, when I first played in Lester Flatt's band. And I remember standing with Roy Acuff and Lester Flatt, looking at him, and this lady came by at Fanfare in 1973 for an autograph and said to Roy Acuff, after she got his autograph, said, I bet you wish you had a dollar for every one of those you've signed. He said, I do. But that's how far it's come. So when it was 2001, I had lost my record deal with MCA. I'd been a part of so many Fanfares, and I looked for a place to play. And they said, well, you're demoted to stage by the river at 4 in the afternoon. I went, I don't think so. So I rented the Ryman and started the Late Night Jam. I said, we'll do this another way. And it kind of became the pirate ship show of the week, because you see things at the Late Night Jam you will not see anywhere else during the week. Special moments that are precious, moments that are treasured, and it's not predictable. And that's what I like about it the most.
I came once and you had Dolly on.
Yeah.
Great show.
Every year I walk off that stage and go, how am I going to top this? And I don't know how. Somehow every show gets a little better, or at least as unique. But that was a good one with Dolly.
And you had some sort of rock names come in as well, who all love country music, and they come in and they respect it.
Absolutely. And the minute anybody walks into the Ryman, whether you're an actor or a rock star or whatever, you know you're in the midst of something special. It's like walking into Westminster Abbey here in this town.
Sure.
You know, you stand up a little better.
Hi, everybody. This is Marty Stewart, and you're listening to my friend Lee Williams.
I'm out in the middle of nowhere, driving through a night as black as coal. Seen a whole lot of highway with a million miles to go. I was born to be a truck driving man, driven land. Truck stop honeys and law book money seen a whole lot of highway with a million miles to go. But it keeps calling and I keep driving through the wind and the rain and snow. Seen a whole lot of highway with a million miles to go. Hey, I was born to be a truck driving man, driven every
talking about music. Anything new coming?
We have three albums. Mm-hmm. There's one called Altitude that kind of takes up where the last one, which was called Way Out West, picks up. Picks up where that one left off. And it's coming out on Snake Farm Records, first of the year. And then there's a 20-song original instrumental record me and the Superlatives worked hard on, Surf Instrumentals.
Oh.
And I love them. I love them. And then there's a project called Songs I Sing in the Dark that I started basically as a video project during the pandemic. Just me and our engineer, Mick Conley. And just go sing obscure country songs. And I love that project a lot.
So with the surfing one, is it very much like, what's his name? I can't think of the guy who had the big surfing.
Oh, Dick Dale?
Dick Dale.
And the Ventures and all those guys. We were, as a band, we were inspired by those guys as kids. And we got around to the point where we went, you know what, let's make some records that a 15-year-old kid can play in his bedroom with his new Fender guitar. We'll play a couple of those tonight.
Great.
See what you think.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so Connie doing well, your wife?
Connie is back to doing well. Like I told you, COVID almost took her away from here. But she fought through it, and she's back to singing. We just recorded three final songs, which will make her 55th album. And she sounds powerful and sounds like Connie Smith. So all is well. We had the first 3 days of this tour off in Leeds. And I had my cell phone. I went, wait a minute. I can listen. I knew she was going to be on the Grand Ole Opry. And I thought, I could listen to Connie. So on my cell phone, I got the WSM app. And I was in Leeds listening to my baby sing on the phone. I went, this is good. Sometimes technology is just wonderful.
Give us some of the hits that you've had over the year, because the listeners give them a refresher.
I think the hit that gave me a reason to get a bus and a band and some cowboy clothes was probably Hillbilly Rock. And then there was Tempted and Little Things and Burn Me Down, and that's country. Whiskey Ain't Working, This One's Gonna Hurt You for a Long, Long Time.
It comes from Mississippi and down in Alabama, creeping like a fever all across the land. From deep in the Delta on the Louisiana shore, the people got to have it, they wanna hear some more. It's a hillbilly rock, beat it with a drum, playing the guitars like shooting from a gun, keeping up the rhythm, steady as a clock, doing a little thing called the hillbilly rock. Some say it came from Memphis, down in Tennessee, or it drifted in from Georgia about 1953. As long as it's greasy, as long as it's fast, as long as it's pumping.
darling, honey, it's gonna last. It's a hillbilly rock, beat it with a drum, playing them guitars like shooting from a gun, keeping up the rhythm, steady as a clock, to a little thing called a hillbilly rock. Sounds so good, it's a hillbilly rock, beat it with a drum, playing them guitars like shooting from a gun, keeping up the rhythm, steady as a clock, doing a little thing called a hillbilly rock. So when the heat starts to rise and then you gotta blow some steam, take a ride down the river, you'll see just what I mean. The juke joints jumping when that cat goes on, the whole place is shaking, there's a something going on. It's a hillbilly rock, beat it with a drum, playing them guitars like shooting from a gun, keeping up the rhythm, steady as a clock, doing a little thing called a hillbilly rock. Doing a little thing called a hillbilly rock. Doing a little thing called a hillbilly rock.
It was one of those songs that Mr. Paul Kennerly.
Paul from, yeah, from England.
Yeah, and he was married to Emmy Lou at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I had known Paul when I was in Johnny Cash's band. I got a couple of his songs recorded by Johnny Cash, and then I got one of his songs recorded by Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins and Roy Orbison and Jerry Lee on the Class of 55 sessions. So we were pals. And Paul knew that I was trying to get a record deal. And we wrote a couple of songs. And after the first day, he called me. He says, I think I have a song for you. I've actually written it for the Judds, because he was having a lot of songs recorded by the Judds at the time. And he says, it's called Hillbilly Rock. I went, yeah. And he said, it comes from Mississippi down in Alabama, creeping like a fever all across the land. I'm from Mississippi, so I was in, you know. And so it kind of told the story of where I came from and what I was about at that time. So it was a nice gift from Mr. Kennerly.
Great. Now, I noticed that you mentioned Snake Farm Records. Now, that's a British label.
It is.
And why have you joined a British label?
Because they reached out and they cared. And I'm aware of their reputation as a world-class musical entity. And I love the roster, and I love how eclectic it is and the world reach they have, and the fact that they would see an interest in some country music kind of thing. But it was worth a try, so we'll see.
I mean, I get stuff from them immediately that they get hold of it, and even advanced music, which is great, and not many labels do that anymore.
I know, and there's a bit of an old-school feel to it, which I like. There's seems like there's a hands-on approach to artist, and I think that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Marty, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Always nice to see you. Hi, everybody. Listen to my friend Lee Williams, who always plays the best in country music.
Baby, close that suitcase. Let's turn this thing around. We've got everybody talking all over town. But if you have to leave, well, keep one thing in mind. Oh, this one's gonna hurt you for a long, long time. There's a bottle on the table to help me understand how love can go so wrong between a woman and a man. But just beyond the door, here's what you will find. Girl, this one's gonna hurt you for a long time.
leave your feelings all behind. 'Cause this one's gonna hurt you for a long, long time. This one's gonna hurt.